purpose is not God. So is it evil? I mean, think about it. They do something good for somebody. It really helps somebody, but the purpose is not God. Is it evil? And now, human sense, I would probably go, absolutely not. There's a problem with that, and we got to look through that. And let's get an understanding of where this is. So I got to set this up, and you're going to see how it fits so many other things. First of all, please get this, and everybody has to know this. There is not, never has been, never will be a good person other than Christ. Okay, now that is very necessary, and I'll explain why. But let's read so you see it's not coming from me. Romans 3, 9 through 18 says, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. Okay, he's saying all human beings are evil. He goes and breaks it down. As it is written, there is no one righteous. Watch this. Not even one. There is no one who understands. No one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good. Not even one. Now, here's the deal. As I'm reading this, please understand. Because we all may say at times, but that's the problem. We may be good at times, but if you're not good all the time, you're not good. Humans lowered the standard to where as long as you're better than this person and that person, then we're good. And God's like, no, what you don't understand, you're not. And there's a danger in that of us not. Verse 13 says, their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit, the poison of vipers are on their lips, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's the biggest part. We don't live understanding that God is the direction, is the right answer. Do you understand that? So because we don't have a fear, we don't always check with God. And then what we as humans started doing was labeling. But this is good then, right? Well, how about this? This is good, right? And that's the danger. Is that right? Look what else he says. All good deeds we do on our own are what? Worthless. How do I know that? Isaiah 64, 6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Now, why is he saying this? Because we think, well, if I keep doing good, then I reach what God wants me to do. I'll just keep doing the best I can to be a good person. And he's letting you know, no, it's not going to happen. You can't, because even your good deeds become corrupt. If I said I need a glass of water, and once again, you put a poison in it, did you give me a glass of water? Yes, you did. All right. Now, I'm going to be poisoned by that water, but you still gave me a glass of water. That's exactly what we do with our goodness or our righteousness today. We're good, and we put poison in it. Do you understand that? You know, you'll look at a bunch of your life and you want patting on your back for the credit that you have done. But what about the corruption that you've done also? All is a package deal. You understand? Humans made it so we split it up. We didn't do that. Okay? And that's why he made it very clear. Only God is good. Only God is good. Mark 10, verse 18 says, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God, and watch this, alone. Amen. Why is that so important? For us never to get in our minds, I'm a good person. I'm doing good. None of us are. There is none. Even if you meet somebody, you're like, man, I want to be holy like them. No, you don't. You want to be holy, but not like them necessarily, unless they're 100% following God. Y'all get this? And I think some people come off with that image around people of, I am so good. Why can't you be good? In fact, I'm angry at you for not being good. How can, and not realizing, wait a minute, you're not good either. Right? So we understand that only God is good. So how do we become good? The only way a person is good is through Christ. He says in Romans 3, 22 to 24, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So to all who believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, what does that mean when it says sinned and fall short? First of all, he said all have done this. Okay? And when he's saying all, he's talking about the ones who existed, the ones who were then, and the ones who are going to be. Y'all get this? Okay? So it's just everybody. And he says fall short. He's saying the requirement for you to get into heaven is here. And everybody, I don't care if you fell here, you still didn't make it in. Does that make sense? You know, in school, they'll do what's called a curve. They'll go for the person who has the highest one, and they'll make that the A or whatever, and then they'll curve everybody else to get to where they needed to be, you know, in grade-wise. However, we had this one teacher that said, you have to get at least A, and they gave a number, I think it was like a 72 or something like that, to pass my class. And there were people in there who had 68s, and he said, you didn't pass, you failed. And they're arguing of, but I was. He would say, you fell short. Do y'all get this? No, you didn't make it. Yes, a 68 is a 68. It's not a 72. And understand, I know some of us think, well, I'm that 68. Please don't give yourself so much credit. Amen. You know what I mean? I think a lot of times we give ourselves more credit. And instead of us looking where we are, well, at least I did good, look at the opportunity that we have to surpass it. Jesus becomes that curve for us, as we're going to see a little later. He says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Okay? So we understand that the righteous, I'm sorry, I didn't read that. The only way for a person is God is through Christ, Romans 3:22 to 24. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Y'all catch that? It comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So we inherit something that we're not doing. Good is only done when I allow Christ. So my good, if I'm ever good, is me displaying good, which is Christ. It'll never be me. Do y'all get this? Okay? It's not coming from me. It's not based on me, and it's not because of me, and never based on me. It says, and are justified freely by grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now, understand that our main purpose as Christians then, because you're saying, well, if I'm here, can I just do good? Our main purpose is to represent him, is to display true good to the world. That is our main purpose. When we minister and when we display Christ, our job is to display Christ to the world, which is the only good. He shows in Matthew 5, 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. Key there. And where he's talking about the body, we have a responsibility to shine the light. He says, you are that light. Now watch what he says here. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Key, let your light shine. So what that means is, as a Christian, I have to let that light, whatever that light is, just give you a head start, that light is Christ. I have to let that shine. Now, how do I do that? I'll explain that. Because watch how he shows it here. That they may see your good deeds. Everybody say your. Okay? And praise your Father in heaven. Say Father in heaven. Now, do you see what's happening? Even though I'm doing it, the credit goes to him. So I'm displaying him, not me. Okay? You don't want to display you. So how do I display him? By doing what he says, the way he says it, when he says it, all based on him. When I do it based on me, it will look good. It will seem good. There are a lot of people that are doing what the world may call good stuff for people, while in reality, they're probably causing more damage than what they see. And we're going to see why, okay? But that's very important for us to get that. Good deeds are required by Christians. Okay, so Christian walk does require good deeds. It says in 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good. Y'all catch that? To be rich in good deeds. Very important. And to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So in other words, once again, all this is done for God. The good deeds I'm doing is for God, and I'm doing it based on God. That's what it shows here. Part of a Christian's responsibility is to encourage one another to do good. So I got to encourage you. So not only are we commanded to do good, part of my encouragement to you is to do good. And I'll explain what that means. He says in Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and, watch this, good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So encouraging you to do good deeds, you're saying, hey, I was at work and this person said this to me. If I encourage you to do good deeds, I show you how to love them based on the Bible. I don't say, I wouldn't let them talk to you that way. Do you see the difference? Okay, good deeds are God deeds or what God said, not your version of what you think is good. I would just ignore what people say. Not a good deed. Where did you get that answer from? Right? Oh, I'd make sure I get back at him. Not a good deed. Where did you get that answer from? If only God is good, where are you getting these answers? Do y'all get this? Okay, so I'm supposed to spur you on based on what the Bible says. You're supposed to spur me on based on what the Bible says. But that only makes it good when it comes directly from God. You understand? Other than that, it may seem good, but it's fake. And it's dangerously fake. We must realize all of our good deeds must be God-purposed. Must be God-purposed. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32 says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Hopefully everybody's just not reading this as I'm saying, and you understand this is a standard that sets everything in our lives. He used eating or drinking as a basic thing for you to say, oh, wait a minute, that means everything I do has to be the glory of God. In other words, has to glorify or display God. Well, have you ever stopped and said, well, how am I going to do that? So when I go home and I'm going to pour some apple juice, how do I glorify God by drinking that apple juice? First, how do I glorify God by pouring the apple juice? It's me drinking apple juice glorifying God. And you go crazy. The Bible puts all that in perspective. He's saying you're in the Word understanding God. I'm not going to do anything until it's in line with you. Until I know I'm not outside your boundaries. That's why I cringe. And you should, too, when you hear somebody say, God doesn't care about, oh, wait, where's that at? Have you ever heard people do that? God doesn't care about this and God doesn't care about, and they'll say it. And you're like, oh, where does it say he doesn't care about that? We talked about hair. Remember that? And we went through the Bible and we see 1 Corinthians 3. And I've heard many ministers, God doesn't care about hair. Seriously. Once again, where'd you get that from? I get where they're coming from emotionally. I get it. Spiritually, where'd you get that from? Right? We tend to put our own spin on things when we want God to think like us instead of us thinking like him. To glorify God is me presenting him the way he is, and only the Bible shows us that. So deeds are only good when done through God. Only good when done through God. So watch this. Definition of evil is anything. Everybody say anything. What does that include? All things. So definition of evil is anything done or not done God purposed. If y'all want a definition of evil, that's it. Anything done, not God purposed. Watch this in Galatians 6, 7 through 8. He says, do not be deceived. Remember, deception is a choice. Okay, if anybody wants to play the victim, and that's why I say play the victim, because we are not the victim. We are empowered by God. So no longer play the victim. Now you have the empower to gain the understanding. So he tells you, don't be deceived. He didn't say, try not to be deceived, or I feel sorry for those who are getting deceived. He's saying, do not be deceived. That's a command. Okay? Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. He starts off with that to let you know you're about to hear something, and if you don't get it, that's because you're allowing yourself to miss it. Do y'all get this? Okay? When he starts off with a man reaps what he sows, the one who sows to please his sinful nature. So it's not about what he does, it's the purpose he does it. Do y'all get that? I've gone over this many times. I want to make sure you'll get that, and I'll go over it many more. It's not a man reaps what he sows, period. It's a man reaps what he sows. Let me explain. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. Did y'all catch that? So if my purpose is my nature, me, I'm going to get destruction. I don't care how good it looks, how good it feels, how good people say it is, I'm going to get destruction. May not be immediate, right? You can ask anybody that may drink or smoke or whatever. That moment they're doing it, they're not doing it so they can immediately feel it kill their body. Am I right? But when they do it, it is. Do you understand that? And later on, they'll get the destruction. And it's even stronger than that. He was like, the one who sows and his purpose to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And watch this. He says, the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So if I'm not living purposefully in everything that I do for the Spirit, I'm headed for doom. Y'all catch this? Even things that seem good. Y'all get this? So if I go help a homeless person and my purpose is not God, that's destruction. That's deep, isn't it? And it makes no sense. Now, please understand, the reason why it doesn't make any sense is we don't walk by sense. And that's why I say, as a pastor, and you as Christians cannot walk by what you think makes sense. You have to go by what God says. Now, I'm going to show you why he gave us some on this topic of why we have to be careful of that. Going in, it says God gives specific instructions on how to do good deeds. For example, he shows in Matthew 6, 3 through 4, he says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, some of us, I want credit. I want them to feel good. I want them to know that I did it. I want to feel good about it. All that stuff comes into play. God's saying it wiped everything out. Good might have been done for that person. That's temporary. Overall good has been damaged, is what he's letting you know. Y'all get this? I may have done this for this person. I may feel good. They may feel good. And there's a big reason. It's because God's saying, I am good. So if it's not through me, it is not. Don't be mistaken by what it seems like, by what it looks like. And we tend to apply human feelings, which can make good deeds dangerous. Look at this. We give passes where God gives restrictions. 2 Thessalonians 3 in verse 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Sounds so simple. But most of the food places like Mission and things like that, their way of giving is you come, you're going to eat. Am I right? Sounds so wholesome. It sounds so great. And God just gave this rule. They're totally ignoring this with, well, right? We tend to go in, and you'll see it happen with families. They'll do this. They'll have a family member that won't work. I'm not going to work. Well, you can stay here until you get your head together. And they'll do it thinking they're doing a good thing. Dangerous. Very dangerous. You see, we add our own into what may seem good isn't. In fact, right now, Christians, we seem like the biggest enemies down here due to homosexual relationships. Because right now, the world is embracing them and saying, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And when we go, it's wrong, I can't believe you people. You just are. Right? Because to them, it seems good. And here you guys are just being prejudiced against them. And I don't understand it if they're in love. Because we add our own human. And that's why you have some Christians going, well, I got to rethink this. You have some churches going, well, we might have to accept this. Because they're not doing it based on God. We're doing it based on emotion, based on self. Y'all see the danger in this? He breaks it down in this one in Galatians. He first tells us we must be careful not, we are required to help each other in their needs. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. That's a command. The minute you go through something that's not your fault of your own, you're going through it, that becomes my problem. And it's not one of those that I'm helping you for you to give me credit. It becomes my responsibility. If anybody sees another Christian go through hard times and you just turn your back, you messed up on what you were responsible for doing. Think about that. Don't ever think, well, you know, that was not my house. It was there. No, that's your responsibility now. And when you do it, you don't do it with the mindset of, I hope they knew what I did for them, because you did nothing. All you did was allowed yourself to be an instrument used by God. Hopefully you think about that next time. But that's our responsibility. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So I'm looking for when people are going through a hard time. But watch what he says here. He goes on and he says, we must be careful not to enable. Galatians 6:5 says, for each one should carry his own load. So difference is, you fall on hard times. You lost your job on no fault of your own. You go through some sickness on something. In other words, not due to irresponsibility or something like that. Immediately that becomes my responsibility also. Y'all catch that? That's mine. However, if you're not just taking care of your bills, every time you get a check, you go out and you buy a whole bunch of thing of Cheetos. I don't know why you buy Cheetos, but do you understand this? You just go out and spend all your money, and then you say, I can't turn my lights on. You're going to be in the dark because that's your responsibility. If I help you, I'm hurting you, actually, But you get people going, well, I'm not going to let them sit in the dark. I'm not going to let them go without eating. That's human reasoning. And God's saying you're going to only make matters worse. Do y'all get this? And understand this. All this I'm saying is all spiritually discerned. If you're trying to intellectualize this or you're trying to emotionally get this, you're going to be disturbed if you already are not. You're listening to this and going, wait a minute, what? Spiritually, you're going, amen. Why? Because God said it. That settles it. Y'all see this? All right? It's based on God. You try to figure it out and try to emotionally rationalize this, you're going to be frustrated. That's why he says the word is spiritually discerned. That means I need a translator, the Spirit. And when the Spirit tells me, I just go, amen. I don't go, well, I don't agree with that. He didn't ask if you agree. He's giving you the answer. Y'all with me? You're not with me? All right, thank you. All right, just making sure. All right, so do you understand this? He says that each one should carry his own load. Understand that saving the world is a lost cause. Following God is the key. Luke 21:33 says, heaven and earth will pass away. There are a lot of people who are trying to save the earth. He's letting you know, no, I'm going to destroy the earth. Now, what he's not saying here is for us to go and ignore it, because you have some Christians that's totally ignoring, we're doing stuff to make matters worse. He's not saying that either. What he's saying is, my ministry cannot be to try to save the earth. My ministry is to follow God. And when I follow God, it will do the things needed in order to save the earth for the time it needs to be. Because he's saying, I'm going to destroy this earth anyway. Do you understand that? So he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So I may do some good things down here that I can say, hey, I'm going to leave this for my children. All that's great, but that's still temporary. And a lot of it still doesn't work. When I follow God's word, I do so much more for my children. This world is corrupt and it's going down whatever we do. However, if I give my children the word, if I live the word, if my whole focus is doing what the word says, then I benefit them eternally. Right? I may be able to save a redwood. My children may be able to see it and all that's great. And then they die. What good did it do? Right? You understand? But I give them the word. They have eternity. And something much greater than a redwood, they're going to get to experience. Do y'all get this? The biggest thing, too, why God doesn't want us to just do good based on us, is doing good deeds, not God-purposed, are dangerous because people are dangerously in a way of becoming discouraged. And I'll show you what I mean. 1 Peter 3:13-14 says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Is the question that comes up. Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Everybody got this, okay? Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. So what he's basically saying is, who's going to beat you up for doing the right thing? However, even if you get beat up for doing the right thing, you're doing the right thing. Okay? He even shows in Galatians 6:9-10, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Now, what he's saying here in both of these cases is, and I'm sure all of us have been there. Have you ever done good for somebody? They look like they don't appreciate it. And what's your next statement? See, that's why I don't do anything for anybody. Or it's the last time I'll do good for them. God said, you messed up from the beginning. You never included me. If you really were doing good, there's nothing they could do to change you. You'll keep doing what you're supposed to do. God tells me to give to them. I give to them. They don't say thank you. They treat me like garbage. Guess what I'm doing? I'm still giving to them. Why? Because it's not between me and them. It's between them and God. It's between me and God. Right? There's a saying that the world says, no good deed goes unpunished. See, people know that. It's a crazy thing, but they think, see, every time you do a good deed, you get punished for it. Why? That's when we're doing it based on us. God's like, keep it to yourself, filthy rags. Might as well go ahead and do evil. Because it's the same thing. When you don't include God, you're setting them up. I've seen people do damage. I know one incident in particular, and I've seen the same thing happen many times, where somebody was consistently helping this other person. Yes, this other person was selfish. Yes, this other person was built upon what they wanted. And they were a little confused on what they were doing, but they never showed appreciation. And then one day, they went to the other person and asked them something, almost as if it was owed to them. And the other person exploded. The one that was doing good exploded. You don't ever say thank you. How come you can't? And it caused more damage. You understand that? And if somebody asked, and the person did ask me, who was wrong in that? I'm like, the person who kept doing was wrong. And not because they blew up, because they were doing it for the wrong reasons. If they were doing it for God, the blow up would never happen. You'll hear me tell people, stop taking it personal. Right? Stop taking it. Do it spiritually. You do it spiritually. They can't hurt you because I'm just doing what God told me. Right? Like when you do your job at work, you're doing it because they pay you, right? Do you go out there and say, well, you know, all this work I'm doing is not helping the company to grow? No. How many of you really do that, really? You know what I mean? You go, I did my job. Can I get my check? Right? In the same way, we do it to glorify God. I'm just doing what God told me. They don't appreciate it. They got to deal with God. They don't like it. They got to deal with God. But when you try to do it, you made it based on you. And you're just as flawed as them. Do y'all get this? My goodness cannot be based on me because I'm not good. Your goodness cannot be based on you because you're not good. Y'all get this? It's good to be enthusiastic to do good as long as it's based on what is truly good. That's what he says in Galatians 4:18. It is fine to be zealous provided the purpose is good. He was saying that there was a bunch of Jews that had this, they were excited to worship God. He said, you could see them. If you met them, they were these excited people. I can't wait to do this and whatever. And he was like, but the problem is they were excited to do the wrong thing. Have you seen that? People who are excited to do something, they'll go on marches, they'll go after a cause and they'll fight it and they're enthusiastic. He said, that's great, but the causes that they're going after and how they're doing it is wrong. I want you to be passionate is what he's saying, but make sure it's based on the right thing. He goes on to say, and to be so always, not just when I'm with you. In other words, you're going to do this good even when the people you want to see is not around. I'm always going to do this good because it's from God. God is always around. My life is for God to see, not for you. When you see me, I'm hoping you see God. Does that make sense? Now, so using that, I want to show you two things because this covers good deeds. But so this answers all those questions of, you know, when I do it for God, when I don't. To give you a hint on this, if you ever ask that question, this goes for everything you do. Everything you do. I'm going to give you an example of what happened here. Understand what most would call good deed, God seen as something else and acted. 2 Samuel 6:7, to set up this story, y'all remember Uzzah, where Uzzah, David had them to bring the ark back into Israel. And that's what they were doing. They followed his instructions. They put it on a cart. They didn't follow God's instructions and carry it the way they were supposed to. That's David's fault because he's a leader. With that said, Uzzah's walking next to it. Now, this is the most precious thing to Israel. All right. The cart shook. The thing was about to fall. Now, I don't know anybody in this room that wouldn't say, oh, wait a minute. We got to stop it from falling. Do y'all get this? So Uzzah reached up to stop it from falling. All right. Here's what God, what happened. In 2 Samuel 6:7, this is, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Now, humans would go, I can't believe God. I'm just mad. And even David got mad at God, sent the ark somewhere else where it blessed somebody else for a long time. And it was just like, he was mad. How dare you be mad at God instead of revering God? It wasn't good. Even in the NIV, and this is not in the translation, the NIV says, for his irreverent act. And that's implied. What it means is, if Uzzah would have considered God, he would have went, I can't believe this thing's fallen, and stepped away, but we can't touch it. Y'all get it? Because God said so. Not, oh, I'm going to touch it, and God will understand, because I mean well. Please don't fool yourself. Please don't be deceived into doing the wrong thing because it seems good. Because I'm going to show you a little secret. The very first sin was done because of somebody, of how they seen things. As you see here, with all that said, with all things, let's not make the same mistake as in the past by leaving God out. Genesis 3:6 says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Problem wasn't the tree. The problem is what she saw. She allowed herself to see. She, instead of saying God said, she did what she saw. And today we're still doing the same thing. In our own minds, I can't see why God will go against us. And then we act. And this is very common. People are living their lives based on how they see it, not realizing the original sin was done based on how we've seen it, instead of going, what did God say? Everybody with me? Make sure our understanding and our focus is, that's why he says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let me check with God. So from this point on, for anything to be called good, it has to be based on God. Amen? All right. As the word says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out to talk to our Father to help us stay God-focused in all that we do. For those of you who would like somebody to pray with you, make sure you see one of us after service, myself and the deacons. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. And for those of you who would like somebody who have children, we should be an example to our children and pray along with our children. Amen? Prayer and meditation. Thank you, Lord. Make sure in all your prayers you add thank you. And not just for the things that you got or for your desires, even for the things you don't desire. Thank him, because you know he's doing all things for your good. Amen?